All right, good morning. Let us start with a word of prayer today. Lord, as we come before you, we give thanks for the place that we still have to come and worship you. So we commit this time into your hands and open our eyes and our ears to hear what you have to say to us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I have a friend, okay, from secondary school. He was a Catholic. So he professed that he goes to church and that he believes in God. He served as an altar boy in church and as part of the Sunday Holy Communion. He would be there at church religiously every single Sunday, and he would be serving communion every single Sunday. So people who knew him in church only thought, wow, this guy is such an angel. He comes to church and he serves every single week. But people outside church, yeah, we know he is religious. He's religious about one thing. He's religious about going to clubs on every Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday. Without fail, 3 times a week, we will receive a text from you. Hey, tonight, club, anyone? I will open a table. So he was so religious about that every single weekend he would be, you can find him there. And he would try his luck religiously with the Pharisees. He would try to pick them up. He would try to bring them somewhere and would try to get himself drunk. Every single week, that was the kind of lifestyle he had. But on Sunday, he would wake up, he would go to church, and he would serve. He would serve in church every single Sunday. He claimed to be someone who believes in God, but yet at the same time, he cannot help but enjoy going to clubs, enjoy picking up girls, enjoy being drunk, and enjoy not knowing what he did the last night. So he was someone who said that I am a disciple of Christ, but yet, outside of church, he does not behave like one. There's no way anyone could tell that he was someone who believes in God and that he was a Christian, or in his case, a Catholic. He had the habit of attending church every single week, but he lacked God in his daily life. He thought that since he serves in church and that he is an altar boy, God would forgive him every single Sunday for what he does on Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday. Some of us sitting here might think, yeah, that's all right. He still goes to church, right? That should be fine. He still serves. That should be fine. But he is someone who fits the term Christian atheist. Christian atheist is someone who claimed to believe in God, but lives as though God doesn't exist. Last week, Pastor Carson shared with us how we claim to be Christians, and yet we still pursue happiness at any cost. He also shared with us about how even we claim to be Christians, we want to know which machine do we plug into. Do we plug into the Christ machine and plug into the vine, or do we want to plug into the happiness machine? This week, we're going to look deeper. We're going to look deeper into ourselves. We're going to look at how we call ourselves Christians, yet we still sin. Some of us might think, sin? That is a foreign concept to me. I don't sin. I'm a Christian. I come to church. Or at least my actions, they're just borderline bad. It's no gray, but it's not hurting anyone. No one knows. After all, it is just a white lie. After all, it is just one drink too much that I got drunk. After all, it is nothing big. There is no consequence to what I just did. No one knows. It is kept in the dark. It's in the private. On the surface, it seems as though I'm still a Christian and I still go to church. And it should be fine, right? I mean, I'm only human. My actions and my belief, they might differ here and there sometimes. It should be okay. I should be allowed to enjoy myself, right? After all, somewhere in the Bible, didn't Jesus or God say that I have the freedom to choose what I want to do? It should be fine. I go to church on Sunday. I can say I'm a Christian, but I can still choose to live the way I want to. I want the best of both worlds. But brothers and sisters, I want to ask you, is it really fine? Can you really have best of both worlds? The term best of both worlds implies that you can enjoy the benefits of having both sides with no consequence. However, being a Christian and enjoying the sinful pleasure is mutually exclusive. It is like a coin toss. When you toss a coin up and it comes down, there's only one side that's going to be facing up, and the other side will be facing down towards the darkness. There's no chance when you flip the coin up and it lands right in the middle where both sides are going to be up. And that is what the Bible says as well. Being a Christian and sin, they are mutually exclusive. They cannot coexist together. But why not? So let us turn to 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 to 7. It says, "This is the message we have heard from him. Proclaim to you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." In verse 5, light is the word that John uses to describe God. But why did he choose to use the word light? Because light allows and sustains life. It makes life far more pleasant and safer than living in darkness. Just imagine, if you're living in darkness, you close your eyes and you walk, you hear, ow! You knock out! You'll be hearing cries of pain. You'll be saying, ouch, most of the time. Why? Because you cannot see. Using light and darkness, John is showing that God and sin cannot coexist. Where there is light, there is no darkness. Where there is darkness, there is no light. And when you enter a room at night, what's the first thing you do? You turn on the light. And when you turn on the light, where does the darkness go? It goes away. And the reason why John used the word light is not purely because of what light represents, but it is also in reference to the Gospel of John in chapter 8, verse 12, where Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Jesus is light. That light that represents goodness, life, and purity. John uses light as an example to show that we're in fellowship with God. And the darkness means to be away from God, to be in sin. Since God and sin are mutually exclusive and cannot coexist together, then it is hypocrisy to say that I am a Christian and yet I continue to keep on sinning. And then let's now look further at what John is saying in verse 6. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 6, John tells us that it is not possible to enjoy best of both worlds. He says that if we say we have fellowship with Jesus while we walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice truth. What does it mean when he says walk in darkness? He did not mean it literally, because if you walk in darkness literally, it means you're blind. But what he's referring to when he uses the word walk, it refers to live. In the Hebrew, the word walk refers to the way you live. Therefore, when John talks about walking in darkness, he is referring to living in darkness. He is referring to living in sin. He is referring to keep on sinning. It is something that's done time and time again. It is something that goes on and on. It's not talking about accidental sinning. It's not talking about sinning once, sinning twice. It's talking about you keep on sinning and you don't stop. You choose to sin. It's talking about willful sinning. It's knowing that something is wrong, yet you keep on doing it time and time again. But why do people willfully sin? There are three reasons. The first one is, I want it now. That kind of mindset is the mindset that I want it and I don't care. I just want it now. For example, a teenager, when he decides to shoplift at Hudson Bay, why does he do that? It is not because he's poor. It's not because he cannot afford it. But it's because he wants it, and he wants it now. It's that mindset that causes him to choose to sin willfully, to choose to have the instant gratification and to shoplift. And that is the first reason why we willfully sin. The second reason is that because everyone is doing it, so I'm going to do it as well. In a society where certain things have become normalized, things that are considered to be sin, it's now something that everyone is doing, I choose to do it too. It's like you're going to a party with your friends and your friends are all getting drunk and they offer you a drink and you say, why not? Since my friends are all getting drunk, I will do it too. It's the same as everyone is smoking, I will smoke too. or people around me are gossiping, so I will gossip too. That is the second reason why we choose to willfully sin. Because everyone is doing it, so I'm going to do it. And the third reason, I don't think I will get caught. Sometimes we choose to keep on sinning is because we think that our sins will not get caught. Just as how some might think that I'm only watching porn at home. I'm watching it in my room, dark. No one can see. And I will always clear my browser history. No one would know. But that is the mindset that causes people to think that I won't get caught, therefore I can choose to sin. And these are the three reasons that John is referring to as walking in darkness. These three reasons contribute to the willful sinning that we have. And just as how light and darkness cannot coexist, God and sin are mutually exclusive. And because of that, you have to make a choice. Because darkness cannot have light, you have to make a choice. And because God cannot coexist with sin, you have to make a choice. And now that we know that light and darkness cannot happen at the same time, what is the consequence? I am still child of God, right? God didn't say that He will disown me as His child. He didn't revoke His gift of salvation from me. Besides, God is full of grace. He's full of mercy. He will forgive me. And I am still saved. If God is full of mercy and grace, does it mean I have to make a choice? Yes, you still have to make a choice, because in 1 John chapter 3, verse 4 to 10, everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that He appeared in order to take away sins, and in Him there is no sin. No one who abides in Him keeps on sinning, and no one who keeps on sinning has either seen Him or known Him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous, as he is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning, because he has been born of God. By this, it is evident that who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. In this passage, John is telling us that we should not be sinning, and that those who sin are not of God, and those of God does not practice sinning. He says that as a child of God, we should not be sinning. It means that we should be in the light with God. It means that as a child of God, we purify ourselves, we keep ourselves pure. We keep the law and not be lawless. And as a child of God, we are not casual in His presence. We are not casual about this title, child of God. But on the other hand, as said by John in verse 10, a child of devil is someone who sins, is someone who walks in darkness. And there's a difference in behavior between the child of God and a child of devil. Right now, I want to bring your attention to the term that he uses. He uses the term child. The concept of children and family is strong in this passage. And right now, I want you to imagine that a child who's in poverty, he's been adopted, or she has been adopted. Instead of growing up in poverty, the child is now provided with every need as they grow up. Instead of growing up in a home of abuse, the child is surrounded now with love. Instead of living off the street, the child is now given a chance at schooling, at a chance of having a better future. Around us, there are stories of success where a child's life is changed with adoption. And right now, keep that image in mind as you apply it into our spiritual lives. When we are baptized, we go from someone who's in poverty, who's in family abuse, and we are adopted into the family of God. And in this family, God has given us this gift of entering into His family. We have this title, the title called Child of God. And with that identity, it means that our actions reflect our family, reflects our Father in heaven. When I was a kid, people would come up to me and say, "Hey, Kanan, you look like your dad, but that's one thing, you have your mom's eyes." So this physical resemblance is not the only thing I have in similarity with my parents, but my mannerism, my attitude towards certain issues. These things are also things that I share with my parents. And my mom, she would always remind me, son, your actions reflect your father. So please do not misbehave. Please know that the identity you have, you are your dad's son. Please behave. So if we claim to be a child of God, then we should not be walking in darkness, because our actions would reflect, it would reflect who God is. This concept is something that we can apply into our own life. Sometimes when we fail to walk in the light, it's because we have gotten comfortable living in the darkness. We know it's bad. We know that we fall short of God's standard. But some sins might have become acceptable to us. And this might happen over time, particularly towards some ongoing struggles that you might have. Struggles that never seem to go away, and we simply give up. We give up and we stop trying to walk in the light. And we continue to sin. We keep on sinning. And this ongoing struggle against sin can become tiresome. That apparent lack of progress can be disheartening. It may seem easier to stop dealing with it and allow that part of darkness to remain in our lives. But the truth is, we cannot have sin in our lives when we call ourselves a child of God, when we call ourselves a Christian. We need to stop sinning. But what can I do now? I know I'm a child of God. I need to be in the light with God. But there's still darkness in my life. It is hard for me. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, in his book Life Together, tells us that to deal with sin in our life, we need to confess. He says that sin demands to have a man by himself. It withdraws him from the community. The more isolated a person is, the more destructive will be the power of sin over him. And the more deeply he becomes involved in it, and the more disastrous is his isolation. Sin wants to remain unknown. It shuns the light. In darkness of unexpressed, it poisons the whole being of a person. What Bonhoeffer is saying, that our sins should be made to light. If we keep our sins in darkness, we will keep committing time and time again, because it is so much easier to go with the flow than to stand against it. To walk in the light is to allow our whole life to be exposed to the light. Leave nothing in the dark. To have no secret sin. To not become comfortable with sin. We cannot pretend that some sins are immune to confession. We may be comforted by God's grace and forgiveness, but we should not become complacent because of that. And Bonhoeffer continues to tell us that this can happen even in the midst of a pious community. In confession, the light of gospel breaks into the darkness and the seclusion of the heart, and sin must be brought to light. The unexpressed must be openly spoken and acknowledged. All that is secret and hidden is made manifest. It is a struggle until the sin is openly admitted, and God breaks gates of brass and bars of iron. If we forget the seriousness of sin, we cheapen the price that Christ has paid for us. And first thing we can do is to confess that sin. We confess that to our fellow Christians in fellowship. We confess to Jesus about our sin. Find someone that you trust in this Christian community and confess that what you have done. Allow light to enter into your life. Allow light to shine on that dark corner in your heart. But confession is not enough. We have to take it further. We also need to renounce. Renounce sin. Renounce the hold that sin has on us. What does it mean to renounce? One example is during baptism, we would say that we renounce the devil and all his works. In the Lutheran tradition, they say during their profession of faith that they renounce three things. They renounce the devil and all the forces that defy God. They renounce that the power of this world that rebel against God. And they renounce the ways of sin that draws them away from God. The idea is that we deliberately walk away from darkness and into the light. We renounce the devil means that we walk away. We avoid fortune tellers. We avoid, and we don't go to Ouija boards. We don't go to astrology. We don't go to the supernatural for answers. We turn away and we walk away from all of that. and we renounce the power of the world is to walk away from corporate greed. For a company that might endorse or close an eye to certain practices or certain doings, walk away from that. We choose not to partake in drunkenness and choose to not live a lifestyle of keep on sinning is to renounce the way of sin that draws us away from God. For those who utter these words in faith expression that we want to distance ourselves from devil and not to be a child of devil or to be in the darkness, it is to be a child of God, to be in fellowship with Him in the light. And when we say these words, it does not mean that immediately we will be able to stop sinning. It means that we are going to leave the darkness. We are going to turn away. We're going to walk away from darkness. It means we are going to be in fellowship with God. And we express to everyone to bring to light that we do not want to lead a life in the domain of the devil, to be in darkness, and we want to be with God. But because we are human and we are prone to mistakes, we then have to tell this part to ourselves as well. I surrender myself to you, God, in my belief and in my obedience, in earnest resolution to remain faithful to you until the end. And that light then shines into our life to get rid of darkness. That is when we declare that we're in fellowship with God. Identify the sin that is in your life. Be it big or small, confess it. Renounce it. Let us have a clear sight of what hinders us. Let us live according to the things of the Spirit. Recognize your weakness. Recognize how dangerous the sin is to you. Recognize how bad the sin is to Christ. In front of brothers and sisters, renounce that sin. Leave it behind. When sin is exposed to the light, the power it has over you is taken away. Know that you are a child of God. Know that you're redeemed. Know that you're in the light. Know that you're in fellowship with Christ. And as we prepare ourselves for communion, let us remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. In verse 27 and 28, he says, "Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks from the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat the bread and drink of the cup." As we move into a time of communion, think about the things that is dark in our life. Think of the dark corners in your life that have yet to see light. Think of that. Reflect about that. Confess that. Renounce that. And as you partake in communion later, think of what the body and the blood of Christ means. It means you are in fellowship with Christ. It means you are part of the light. So leave the darkness. Leave the lifestyle of sinning. Renounce that. Renounce the darkness. Renounce the sin. Renounce the devil and all his works.